Oh God, who brought me from the rest of last night to the new light of this day. Bring me in the new light of this day to the guiding light of the eternal. L'chaim.
L'chaim. Welcome everybody to Keith and the Girl. Let's get right to it. Wow. The big Olympic news. Breathtaking. Right?
What's this?
I don't know.
I don't
Probably.
Know. Probably. Oh, okay.
Probably. There's always
like,
something
wow,
going
you're
on.
Really on top. Somebody died or something.
Something big. Somebody is either disqualified, somebody won a gold, somebody broke a record. And I was there for it, and it was amazing. Now, the only talk I'm hearing about is Michael Phelps, the Olympic 8-time gold medal swimmer. Which, not to take anything away, could you win 8 gold medals in other sports? Can a runner, for example, win 8
like,
gold
is
medals?
Is it an option, you mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Could a weightlifter win 8 gold medals if he wanted to?
Nobody could break his whole arm. Didn't somebody bend their whole thing completely the other way?
Yeah, somebody was powerlifting and their arm snapped the wrong way.
And that was on the internet, the pictures, in 5 seconds.
You can watch it on the internet, and you can hear the British guy go, "Ooh, that is terrible. Ooh. motherfuck! Simply awful." Now, I'm hearing this, though, about Michael Phelps. His dad, he doesn't have a good home life. Now they have to find everything bad about him. Everyone in the world is clamoring for a piece of golden boy Michael Phelps, except for his father.
Aw, they really did have to look that up, didn't they? Yeah. That's not really something that he's like, oh, and by the way, my father doesn't like me.
Phelps' dad, Fred, admitted to the Post in New York that he has not had a single conversation with his Olympian son since Michael left for Beijing. And 8 medals later, Michael still has nothing to say. He's so busy, the dad says. I'm sure not even his agent can get hold of him. Except I'm hearing he can, and he's getting millions in endorsements. Michael's mom, Debbie, has been seen cheering and crying from the stands as her son won medal after medal in Beijing. But Fred has no contact.
Yeah, he's not too busy for his mom, who's actually there.
Right. I'm very proud of him and all he's done, the dad says. This is not about me, though. It's about him, even though I called you back and had to tell you this disgraceful news. The retired Maryland state trooper divorced Debbie, his high school sweetheart, in 1992 when Michael was just 9. The same year, doctors diagnosed the swimmer with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
I guess you can really achieve a lot with those diseases.
Yeah, is that fair? You're hyperactive. Going against regular active people.
But isn't one of his things that he can't pay attention for too long?
Yeah, he can't, but he's bored in one spot.
Yeah, but you have to be pretty focused to be in the Olympics and to pick one thing that you really like that much.
Even if you have ADD and think halfway through an event, you get out and you're like, I'm bored. Get back in. This is the big time.
I still don't get ADD. I still don't. I don't know. Like, you can't concentrate only on the things that bore you.
Yeah.
I can't either. You know how hard it is for me to concentrate on shit that I have no interest in?
I couldn't pay attention in school either.
Yeah. I made myself because I knew how important it was and that I was going to get really, really in really big trouble. That doesn't mean I was good at it.
I understand, like, diagnosing different cancers as medical progress progresses, but some of these things that we never had when we were kids, ADD, your kid's bored.
See, the problem is maybe ADD is for real, except, like, they're diagnosing so many people that we can't take it seriously.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel bad, the kids who really, really have it, you know, and are really going through some shit, but everyone else, I think, is just a spoiled brat.
How come nobody gets ADD at a buffet? Nobody gets ADD while fucking. How come it's always boring stuff coincidentally?
Yeah,
I took my kid to church, and that's when I realized he had ADD.
The biggest example of that is a lot of kids with ADD will play video games for days. Like, they will not look away. They're so concentrated on it. And then you go to school. I mean, if you can figure out a video game, you know, and not that I'm saying all video games are so complex, but if you can stare at it for so long... Read a book.
Speaking of video games, by the way, when we were at the doctor the other day, we saw some story on TV about a mom that's suing a video game. You know, you've heard this. Video games causing violence, of course. That bullshit. But this mom's suing because the kid skateboarded without a helmet.
And died.
Died. Fell, cracked his head open.
Her kid, yeah. It's a mom and a dad. And their kid died skateboarding. He fell one time, happened to hit his head the wrong way, wasn't wearing a helmet. So they're suing the video games they used to play because the players in the video games aren't wearing helmets. Meanwhile,
it's a skateboarding video game.
It's a
that's
video
being
game.
Sued.
Do you know what game you're playing? Real life. And that's your real life son. And where were you when he left the house without a helmet? He was young enough that... you go, you can't go outside without a helmet. If you're such an advocate for helmet use, if you're such a, if it was such a huge deal to you, A, why is he watching those videos? Why is he playing those video games? Why is he watching anything that will cause him any trouble, that will detriment anything, you know?
I've played these skateboarding video games.
You know, and you want to run out and bash your head in, don't you?
I want to take the skateboard and jump on a power line and skate. You can skate anything. You skate the edges of rooftops. Because no matter how good the graphics are, it's going to get boring if you're just skating on a ramp or two.
Right,
you're jumping on helicopters. You're skating the blades. It's ridiculous what you're doing.
But, obviously, like, it's just like watching a movie and it's like so many movies have where the good guy grabs onto the helicopter, or the bad guy grabs onto the helicopter. The helicopter starts flying away, but he's holding on with one hand. With one hand. Okay, so if you think that that's something that your child shouldn't watch because your child is an idiot and will hold on to a helicopter one day with one hand, that's on you. You know what? We should sue you for all the shit that everyone else, like his friends should sue you. Why didn't you tell your kid to put a helmet on? Now we have to grieve, and this will last in our brains for the rest of our lives.
That's a good point. I'm suing Call of Duty 4 because if you're in war, and if maybe your son or daughter's in war, and if they happen to have played any war game, you could sue the game because you will not win in real life war if you just go gangbusters after 25 Arabs and hope for the best, throwing grenades and stabbing people. You do in the game sometimes. I did. I beat it. But you're going to have a little more strategy, and that's not what Call of Duty taught me
also,
at all.
Also, you should assume that when you die, you just have to press restart.
Right.
I mean,
that's not what it is about.
No.
I hope they said that this kid was out of quarters.
Mafujan is saying, keep in mind those skateboarding games, they still wear helmets. Not all of them, you know, and I'm sure they're not making up that in some of the video games they're not wearing helmets.
You should sue because in real life you can't type a secret code and become Tony Hawk. Fucking idiot. Yeah, where's my endorsement deals? I'm suing.
I mean, obviously this all comes from, you know, you have to grieve and that is your son and he's not supposed to die before you, but you're actually blaming a shit ton of other people for something that you're in charge of. You are in charge of that until he's 18. Like, anything that happens to him, you are in charge. Like, you got pregnant, or you adopted a baby, or you whatever. You signed a thing. I'm sure everybody does. This is mine, and I'm going to take care of it. So if it dies, maybe we should, like, fucking put you in court and see why it died.
I beat Mike Tyson in Punch-Out, and I don't know where my endorsement deals are. The newspaper didn't make a fucking thing about it.
You have to get a funny tattoo first.
Don King wouldn't write me back. I don't understand it.
It really bothered me. I mean, again, it's such a loss that, like, you almost can't blame people for how they respond, except somebody. I don't know. Do you have any friends that go, you know what, maybe you
wonder who started it. Did a lawyer call him, or did they call a lawyer? And either way, like, no matter how you're grieving, if a lawyer called you, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's people we can sue. You're just a scumbag parent. Just a piece of shit. Getting back to Michael Phelps more, let's take everything away. Let's take all his dignity away since he has something.
Yeah, the highlight of his life.
The highlight
let's
of his life.
Let's remind him of all the shit.
Well, here's a picture of him standing next to a model, Amanda Beard, B-E-A-R-D if you want to Google it. Sex pot swimmer, I guess she's a swimmer too. Amanda Beard says Michael Phelps has absolutely no shot at doing the breaststroke with her. Beard, 26 years old, denied yesterday that she was dating Phelps, who's 23, saying, quote, ew, that's nasty. I have never, ever hooked up with Michael Phelps, she said in a telephone interview from Beijing. She had Beard all for Playboy and appears in a sexy ad for PETA.
Wow.
She said she has never even kissed a 14-time Olympic gold medalist, even though they have a picture of him with his arm around her. But it doesn't look sexy at all. Come on, I have really good taste, she said.
Wow.
He's really not my type.
Well, now it just sounds like you fucked him and he just walked away.
Yeah, why are you pushing
it? You're just making it sound like,
eight gold medals, but no dick. Was that necessary? Asked how the poolside rumors made their way into London's Daily Telegraph. Isn't that funny? I didn't hear about this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's the newspaper going, well, these rumors came from, you're doing it. I didn't hear about it until you printed it in America. You started by saying it. It's the same thing like we said before with these entertainment shows. Can you believe that? What was the latest thing we saw? Who's that singer that's always with these? John Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
John Mayer is on the street yelling at paparazzi about about what a horrible person Jennifer Aniston was or why they broke up. And then the shows start going, now this isn't really classy. Talking to the paparazzi about the, let's go to this tape again. I can't believe it. The scumbag paparazzi comes out. You're paying them. You are them.
They were actually saying, I can't believe John Mayer would just come out and talk about his ex-girlfriend. You wouldn't have a show. He's
right.
Actually doing you a favor where if he didn't do this, you would seek him out, knock on his door, stalk him, like really right. For real stalk him. So he's probably cutting that part out so that you're not stalking him, so that you stop knocking on his door. He sees a bunch of paparazzi. They're following him and everywhere. There he is. He's stating the thing. Now you have nothing else. So you know what you run to? I can't believe it. He's talking about his ex-girlfriend. You're dying for him to tell you what size her vagina is.
Yeah. You're paying these. You wouldn't be able to use these clips without paying for them. You pay
right.
for them.
Right. Whether it was your video person who was already out there or somebody solicited right. you saying, hey, do you want this?
You pay for them and you pay for them to keep doing it. And do you watch these shows and ever think like, I'm watching a comedy show. This is a skit. Okay, I can't believe he said this to the camera. Let's bring in our entertainment experts. What the fuck? They know nothing that you at home on the couch with your Doritos don't know.
And actually, I like when they bring in the psychologist, psychiatrist, yeah. therapist.
Well, he's angry, but
right.
thank you.
Right. Well, John Mayer was probably thinking that, okay.
Right.
Those psychiatrists are the ones where you're, like, the ones where people watching that show are seeking out, like, oh, they must know everything and they know about celebrities. Those are the ones that I would steer so clear from because they're such attention whores, and that in and of itself is psychologically a little bit cuckoo's magoo's for a psychoanalyst.
How silly. How fucking silly. Asked how the poolside rumors made their way into London's Daily Telegraph, Beard said she had no clue. We don't even talk to each other, she said.
Okay, we get it.
We get it. When Extra asked Phelps in an interview that aired last night if he was dating her, he said, no, I'm not dating Amanda Beard, I'll say that. I think she has a boyfriend.
See, isn't that nicer?
Right. I'm an Olympian. She's a whore. No thanks. I have 8 gold medals.
Or
she
maybe,
has 4 diseases.
Maybe it actually is happening and they, you know, made a vow to each other, let's not let this leak. And she's like, no, God, no, fuck no.
Right.
And then he's talking to her right now like, you didn't have to say no with not even with somebody else's dick, you wouldn't fuck me.
Right. She called into this interview place.
No,
she called
she
into
didn't.
The radio station. It's early in the morning. She had no trouble picking up the phone. Hey, you caught me off guard. What are you talking about? Michael Phelps. Oh, my God, I'm eating my breakfast and just trying to get to work doing nothing. Please, give it gross to the max. Asked if he's dating one, he said, part of my life is kept to myself. I'm able to relax and be with my friends. Those pretty much are the only people who really know the answer to that question. Can we talk about my 8 fucking awards, please? Jesus Christ. I bet he was getting all the press, all the attention, obviously. And she's like, hey, I'm in a picture with him, too. Why aren't you talking to me? Well, I can't wait till he does get married. Then it doesn't work out, gets a divorce. The wife takes 4 of the medals. Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi got married.
I saw that.
I think it's their 5th marriage. Don't they get married every 3 months?
These particular lesbians?
Yeah, that's what I hear. The brides wore white and wide smiles. Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi are on the cover of the upcoming People magazine, Arm in Arm. DeGeneres is wearing a pantsuit. Portia de Rossi is in a big gown dress.
What does that mean? Get it? Is that a little nudge, nudge, wink, wink?
You know what?
Who's the man?
Do they have any responsibility to
represent gay people?
To represent gay and lesbian people? And if they do, should they both be wearing dresses?
No, because Ellen,
when you come out on Time magazine and say I'm gay and you're part of GLAAD and you're trying to afford all these things and you do message about it, now you have a chance to shut up people a little bit that are going to go, of course somebody has to be the man and of course DeGeneres is the man.
No, I get your point of view, but it also like they're also speaking for women as well and they can wear whatever they want type of thing. Ellen is not known for wearing skirts ever. She always wears a pantsuit or pants, and like she kind of dresses like a boy on her show also. And it's like, it's not like a boy really, it's just that she's wearing pants, you know. Right. But she's not known for being that girly, so why should she change it up just because this is the next step in her life? I don't think so.
I want to see the thing on the cake. Yeah, the two. I want to see what that looks like, and then maybe we'll delve in
the figurines.
Further. Yeah. I'm the luckiest girl in the world, says the generous 50 years old. She's now officially off the market. No one else can have her. And now she'll cook and clean for me. It feels different, she says. I was already planning on spending the rest of my life with her, but until you're married, you just don't know.
Really?
And it feels wonderful, yeah. That's a cool.
What state did she go to?
Denial? California.
California.
Yeah. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
I got a letter, a beautiful letter, over and fucking over again from these people that we were at, that
oh,
we scheduled
right.
the cruise with. Ahoy, Hamden Keith. Just checking to see if you received my voice messages and emails and homemade home card. How was the cruise?
They've been calling me like every day.
Why won't you fucking tell me?
First of all, I hate phone calls.
Hey,
but if it's not necessary, I'm not going to make it. I don't need to tell you how the cruise went, because what I want to tell you is the bad things that went on, because that's what I think you should know.
That's all I would say.
But from the record that we have, from history that we have, when I tell you half a thing that's a little off, you go nuts. Yeah. You're like, whoa, just let me. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. If you can't take criticism, why should I give you any?
We're not going in the past. You're not going to make Carnival cruise workers nice.
Exactly. You're working with Carnival regardless of my feedback. And it has nothing to do with you anymore why things went weird. It's Carnival. Right. So whatever. And Mafujan is saying, just direct Keith and the Girl episode 784, fuck Carnival.
Yeah. I don't know. Look at our shows. Mm-hmm. Ask Carnival.
It is weird that
ask how many
don't
rooms there
up.
Are fights in.
Yeah. It's weird. Like that was the one good thing about Jana when she was on it, you know, until she flipped out and went cuckoo's magoos, was that she was on our forums and seeing how people liked it and seeing the response of people and how she's doing. And she was on that thread. It's just one thread that you're following.
Right.
You know?
I heard the show. I assumed that was a joke. How really, though? How was it? You could tell me. Call me when you get a few minutes so I can catch up with you and the details.
You know what I think is going to happen? What I want to do is just send a nice, friendly email. Thank you for all the hard work. Everyone had a really good time. Like, simple as that. And she's not going to let it go. She's going to want detail. And what she doesn't know is, trust me, you don't want the detail of it. You know, I'm not going to work with you again.
That's it's over. We had fun. Who gives a shit? Thanks. Thank you.
Right.
That should be the message.
But she's hoping, like, you know, even from the start, she was like, oh, let's make this an annual. I'm like, we didn't even book anything yet.
Hold on.
We didn't
even do one. Yeah. Ahoy, Keith and Hamden Keith, excuse me, this is the homemade card. Welcome home from the first, quote, Keith and the Girl cruise. She loves quotes. We hope you had a fabulous time aboard the Imagination and enjoyed Key West and Cozumel and devouring Christ, even though you all weren't supposed to. As your impressions of the cruise are of great interest to our company, we would appreciate your comments when you have the time. Our guests are very important to Galaxy, and we hope the next time you choose to cruise, whether personally or with your group, you will call us again and recommend us to your friends. Wishing you, quote, smooth sailing, because we know you're not really technically sailing. I'm hip, too. As you settle back into your normal routine, bon voyage!
Bon voyage where?
Again?
Bon voyage what?
Well, I'm not packed
Did
up.
Did we just win a cruise?
By the way, the other guy you worked with and don't like too, he sends his regards. Okay, good. Thank you. Fantastic.
And that's it. Like, the other guy was fine. It's just that people don't, you know, they just don't move forward fast. Just keep going.
We really could be living in the future
if
people wouldn't act like everything is a big deal. Done. Every little thing could be done right then. We said that soon after starting Keith and the Girl, working with business people, it's like, there's no reason. Some things are better in person than over the phone, of course.
When you tell me too many times, you know how it is, because you're just as busy. Oh, I can't even imagine. Okay, but I would be less busy if we're not having this silly conversation about how busy we were.
You don't need this many lunches to redo the Star Wars program. We can have the economy solved with the number of lunches I take to go on a cruise. Oh, well. Gary Glitter, out of jail. You know him. Oh, this is what everybody says. All the news things I read, like the big hit wonder from England. I never heard of a Gary Glitter song.
Who's Gary Glitter? Missing something?
I, well, you missed a... I'll remind you. He was a pederast. And he was into pedophilia. Oh. And he went to jail. And he's the guy that does the song at sporting events. Hey, hey, oh, hey. He did that.
Oh,
they
wow.
go top 10 hits, 20 hits. And then they always show that song.
Mm.
And then, what a genius. That is genius. Hey. Which is weird that they keep playing it after you're accused pedophile. But I feel the same about Michael Jackson. Disgraced British glam rocker Gary Glitter, who served nearly 3 months in a Vietnam prison for molesting children, was denied entry to Hong Kong after refusing to return to England, where he's from, officials said Wednesday. So he got out of jail after serving 3 years for molesting children. And now he wants to go to other countries and not England, and they're not letting him in. Glitter flew to Hong Kong Wednesday night after staying in the transit area of Bangkok's international airport for several hours. The Chinese authorities have informed us that they have refused Paul Gad entry into Hong Kong, says a spokeswoman for Britain's foreign office.
That's kind of nice, no?
Yeah, that they won't let him in?
Yeah.
It's a matter for the Chinese authorities what happens next. A second foreign office spokesperson said Glitter was interviewed by Chinese immigration officials after arriving in Hong Kong. Glitter was turned away, quote, as a result of those interviews. In a statement, Hong Kong government said it doesn't comment on individual cases, but that immigration officials would take into consideration all relevant factors and circumstances while processing applications. Then added, we are not fond of kid touching. It was the third country to bar Glitter in the last 2 days.
Hmm.
You're not around.
You know, just that statement sounds good. They barred Glitter. Get it? Merk.
He just doesn't want, he just wants to get to a country that has Asian people.
Wow.
Nobody's letting him do it.
On the feedback, somebody just sent a picture. What a creepy looking guy.
Yeah. He looked creepy even back then. On Tuesday night, Glitter was taken from his prison cell to a flight out of Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. He had been booked to change planes in Bangkok en route to London. He refused to board a flight to England, however, complaining of an earache. Thai authorities would not allow him to pass through immigration, leaving him in limbo. He does not want to go back to his home place.
Well, it's a little bit harder to touch children there.
Yeah, or do you have a thing for Asians?
True.
Glitter, 64, was convicted in March 2006 of committing obscene acts with children. He served 2 years and 9 months of a 3-year sentence, which was reduced for good behavior. Well, of course! There's not little Asian children running around prison!
That's a really short sentence for touching babies.
It's a short, right. And also, you're free to go, though. You're free to go because you weren't fucking kids the whole time you were in jail with adults.
Right.
The incidents involved two girls, ages 10 and 11, from the southern coastal city of Vong Tau, if you're interested. The verdict said he had molested the girls repeatedly at his seaside villa in Vong Tau and nearby hotels.
Wow, repeatedly, and he only got 3 years.
Glitter proclaimed his innocence, but he was sentenced to 3 years. Glitter's fall from grace began back in 1997. Over, what, 10 years ago? Less than 10 years ago? More?
More.
I don't have a calculator. When he took his computer to a repair shop, listen to this. He took his computer to a repair shop, and an employee there discovered he had downloaded thousands of hardcore pornographic images of children. 2 years later, British authorities convicted him of possession of child pornography, and Glitter served half of a 4-month jail term. So right then, back in the day, he was doing this shit. You have this stuff on your computer, but you can't get to your music because it's corrupted. What do you do? Because maybe it's a sequel to dun, 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 hey! It's like, what word did I use this time instead of hey? I totally forget. But I got kid pictures. Like, you don't forget. When you turn
also,
in your thing, you don't go, the kid pictures. You just figure, like, please just go in the file.
Right.
The file called fucking, I don't write songs with dirty titles. So don't even bother with that folder.
The rest is none of your business. But the thing is like, everyone says that they're scared to Google something weird that comes out in a bad result. Like,
right.
All of a sudden you accidentally looked at something that, you realized later is illegal or whatever. And you're like, fuck, that's in my history. That's in my whatever. And I assume that...
No, I do a radio show, and I was trying to do a funny title, and I didn't know if Kid Touchin' took a hyphen.
Right,
that's the only reason I was Googling it.
Right. And so... But when you get someone's computer, and there's thousands of already downloaded hardcore, that's like... what defense? You know when you Google things, and then thousands of things just download onto your computer in a nicely neat, organized file?
Right, maybe if he didn't have them labeled.
Yeah.
And he,
my favorite part two.
He has stars by him, a 1 to 5 scale, a hit it and quit it file. The song, by the way, hey, is called History of Rock and Roll Part 2. Well, I don't know about Part 1, but Part 2 really sums it up. From the British invasion till now. Hey, rock and roll. I think I get it. That is the history. While inmates in jails across New York pass the time by playing card games, poker, gin rummy, solitaire, for example, because I have to reach my word count, they may also be helping crack cold cases. The idea is simple enough. Each of the 52 playing cards contains information about a murder, a missing person, or another unsolved crime. Remember after 9/11, they were giving out decks of cards that had, like, I was going to do something with Obama and all the terrorists listed on it.
Yeah.
Remember that? That's kind of what this is. Now inmates are going to have cards with a guy's face or a missing child and the information. And maybe as you're playing a card game for cigarettes and asshole, you're going to go, oh, fuck, I know this guy or I know this story.
I don't know,
and then maybe halfway through, like, there's 100 cigarettes in the pot and you go, holy shit, I know this person. You get up and leave. Like, whoa, finish the fucking, no, I can't. I have this card. Play the fucking game.
Why inmates? Because they'll give up. People,
it's they'll give up people
for shorter sentences, and
maybe
stuff.
For shorter sentences, and they know, they're on the street and they know about these stories. Maybe there's a high turnover rate in prison.
I usually look at the number side of the cards more than the other side.
But no, it's not the other. No, it's on the more it's on the number side.
It's on the number side.
It's on the number side. So you only get the number in the top left and bottom right.
Really?
Then you get the story taking up the main thing.
Hmm.
What would be funny, though, is if you can read tells based on the cards people got, like, this child motherfucker. All in? Yeah, you got the ace of spades. Inmates know information law enforcement agents don't, and as corrections officers can attest, inmates love to talk as long as it's not about their own crimes. You know what? That is true.
Yeah.
When I was in jail, you had people just yapping because you need shit to do. You only get an hour usually outside or an hour in the rec room.
But it's also the same reason why people gossip outside, you know? It's like, why did you need to tell me that Britney just, you know...
Right.
And not even Spears. Like, Britney from down the block, she just cheated on her husband. I've never met her before, but you want to know that you have that information. You right. want me to know that.
A lot of
I'm
these
not
people...
saying that I'm taking myself out of the equation, you know? Like,
right.
I think everybody on some level, even those who are like, I know, right? Right now, listening to my voice going like, yeah, people just have to... Even you, there's on some level, you like to gossip. You like to know the information. You're interested in other people's business. You overhear conversations and you enjoy it.
The program was started by Doug and Mary Lyall, whose daughter Suzanne went missing 10 years ago after she got off a bus at the State University of New York, Albany. The Lyalls heard about similar initiative in Florida, where the cards sent to state prisons in some county jails resulted in 8 arrests and 1 conviction. There you go.
Wow.
So definitely one of those stuck.
Wow, that's kind of a lot, you know?
Florida officials say they are close to releasing a 3rd edition deck of cards.
You'd have to keep releasing new editions.
Collect them all. Using money donated to their foundation, the Center of Hope, the Lyalls sent 7,200 decks of cards to New York's local jails.
Wow.
Just started to snowball, get momentum. It took a lot of hard work, a lot of phone calls, a lot of footwork, but it's been worth it so far because we got it off the ground. Would have been faster if I didn't need 7 fucking emails, 4 lunches, and 3. Here's the cards. Here's my idea. In or out.
Right.
Let's so. You have 52 cards, you say. The Lyalls know that their work, at times painful, is important. They're convinced that some of the cases will be solved. The people that are sooner or later, someone will hear, someone talks, it always happens, whether it's 2 years now, 2 years from now, 2 days from now, or 5 years from now. Even the inmates think it's a good idea.
Well, the inmates need anything.
They need something.
You want to give me
right.
cards? Yes, that's a good idea.
And these are your sickest crimes, so, you know, they're disgusted. They can rob you and you know, cut off your head and put in the freezer, but did you touch a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't touch a kid, did you? A man known as the Metrolink murderer will spend the rest of his life in prison and more. A judge sentenced 29-year-old Juan Manuel Alvarez to 11 consecutive life sentences, calling him a remorseless killer. Superior Court Judge William Pounder said Wednesday that he would impose a sentence of forever to Juan Alvarez if it was possible. But it's not, so he gave him 11 consecutive life sentences.
Which has nothing to do with forever.
He will not be eligible for parole. I like that. People laugh at that. I like it.
What?
In the life sentences.
I think
consecutive life sentences. It sounds funny, but in the future, you know, we figure out shit, and you're able to be brought back. Like, nah, you're done. If we can figure out how to be brought back 12 times, I think you deserve to stay.
I think it just gives the victims something, or the victim's family something.
Right.
Like, if he killed 11 people, he gets 11 life sentences. It's like, oh, there's one for me. You know what I mean?
And which is what happened. But listen to the story. I mean, it's weird. That's why I brought it up. Alvarez parked his SUV on a railroad track at Glendale, Los Angeles border on January 26, 2005. Again, wondering why things take so long, causing a Metrolink derailment that killed 11 people and injured more than 180 others. Alvarez was convicted June 26 of 11 counts of first-degree murder, along with one count of arson in connection with the deadliest U.S. train crash since 1999.
Oh, wow.
Alvarez,
well, can he live with himself now?
Alvarez, who spent more than 4 days on the stand during his trial, testified that he meant to commit suicide by parking his green Jeep Cherokee on the tracks south of Chevy Chase Drive in Glendale about 6 a.m., but changed his mind and couldn't get the SUV off the tracks. Supposedly. I was going to kill myself, he said. I feel terrible, and I ask for forgiveness. So even if he didn't try to get off and change his mind, say he did just sit there. Right. He was just trying to kill himself. You would kind of think a train could just fucking end it. You're too pussy to stand there, but you could stand in your car, you know, lock yourself in, put the music real loud, close your eyes, and just wait. But that's what he did, and he derailed the train, and 11 people on the train died. He had jurors... He told jurors that it never crossed his mind that anyone aboard the train would be hurt.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that either.
I wouldn't.
You know, I would just think, I would think that a fast-moving train would fling my car out. Like, and then you have to consider that as well. You know, you have to consider where your car is going to land. Like, is it now dragging your car? You also have to consider that now the conductor of that train, the person who's watching you, you know
what
I mean? You
have to live with that.
Like,
yeah.
That guy has to live with it, you know? I'm just
and then
thinking,
he has
like,
to kill himself. You're setting up a whole domino thing of people that got to kill themselves.
Yeah, it's just a bit much. It's like the people who throw themselves off the building. You know, somebody's going to find you,
right.
And that's going to be like a thing that they can't take away from their memory for the rest of their lives. Like, just because your life sucks doesn't mean you have to affect me.
Prosecutors countered that the then 26-year-old former construction worker and father of two intended to cause a catastrophe to get his estranged wife's attention.
Ew,
well, I think that would have worked.
Thickens.
I think that would have worked. Being asked, by the way, on the feedback, if this is a relationship to Alvarez or psychic witch. I don't think so, because that guy would have saw the sentence coming. Metrolink train number 100, which was heading south to Union Station, derailed after plowing into the vehicle, then crashed into northbound Metrolink train number 901 at the Glendale-Los Angeles City line. The train also struck a Union Pacific freight train locomotive. Ooh. What the fuck 6 a.m. meeting was this?
Wow.
Glendale Fire Department arson investigators said gasoline had been poured on both the inside and outside of the Jeep. This guy didn't change his mind, by the way. That caused a fire after train number 100 smashed into the vehicle of the track. So he wanted to make sure he blew up.
So wait, but okay, then he should have considered a little more, because if he blows up, then other things blow up too.
Killed in the crash were train conductor Tom Ormiston, a 58-year-old Vietnam vet.
Oh.
That's how you die. I know war's tough. I finished Call of Duty 4. War is tough, and to that's how you die. You're a retired train conductor.
Ugh.
Probably getting hassled, getting all the money from the government you're supposed to get.
Yeah, you're
everything's
getting close
bullshit.
To retirement. Every day you tell people how close to retirement you are.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting the double back money from the pension that we finally put into savings.
Ugh.
Just one more train ride.
Mm.
That's how you die. I told you I was listening to that show, The Jam Hole, and he was talking about a friend of his, Matt, the main guy, was talking about a friend of his, a girl. That girl's brother died in Iraq, and he didn't die by, you think, an explosive or somebody's gun. He died because the Humvee or Jeep that he was in hit a pothole, overturned into a lake. They were trapped, and they drowned, and he was one of these people. What a way to go. What a weird thing to hear. How weird. A 58-year-old Vietnam vet who was nearing retirement at the end of a railroad career that began in 1970. A sheriff's deputy, 47, who took the commuter train occasionally to get to work, blah, blah, blah. Also killed were these other people. It seems to range from 44 to 65.
Ugh, and then, you know, that 47-year-old who takes the train occasionally, maybe he had a thing with his wife this morning. She's like, please, can I just take the car today? I really have to run all these errands and whatever. And he's like, ugh, it's such a hassle. And now she used to feel guilty for the rest of his life, for the rest of her life.
Or like, he's like, you know what, let me buy you something. It's your birthday. Finally, can I go out and get you? You know, I don't like when people spend money on me or do things. I'm like,
oh, shut
you
up.
You deserve it. Let me go out and do this. And the next thing you know, you really can't accept gifts. Like ever.
Shut up.
This is good news. This coming up. Texas school district is going to let teachers carry guns.
Not a good idea.
Great idea. You're right.
No.
Not a good idea. Great idea. Texas School District will let teachers bring guns to class this fall, the district superintendent said on Friday, and what experts said appeared to be the first in the U.S. That's not easy to look up.
Oh, what?
They believe it's the first.
That is kind of easy to look
well,
up.
Well, I don't really know for sure. I can look it up and get back to you, newspaper. Nah, I'm in a hurry, but you're pretty sure, right? The board of the small rural Herald Independent School District unanimously approved the plan, and parents have not objected, said the district superintendent. We no longer want to be called Jews and have our bald heads rubbed. If I hear another story from a guest of ours about the worst fucking thing...
Let me tell you.
The school system was terrible. Oh, tell me some fucking stories. New York City school system. They rubbed my head once, and one time I was called a Jew. Are you German? No, I'm a Jew. And then what was another one? The comic that I really liked, the female comic we'll have on again, absolutely, M. Dixon. And she was saying, my dad, what an asshole. Oh, fucking, let's hear it. Fucking asshole dad stories. I got some stories. You go. My dad didn't pay the whole thing in my college. Move on. Let me do you a favor. Next topic. Holy shit. And then what was it with Jesse Joyce and his buddy Ray DeVito? And it's like, let me tell you a story about Jesse Joyce breaking a baby stroller. It's like, holy fuck, what'd he do? He took this baby out. He threw it across the room because he's all fucked up. That's what made him go sober. Ray, tell me the story. Yeah, there's a baby carriage, a baby stroller.
On the street because it's in the garbage.
On the street in the garbage and he broke it.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? I put Adam in a shopping cart like Jackass, and I drive it down the street when we're drunk. You found a baby carriage and you broke it.
I just feel like all our guests have got to think that we're the biggest scumbags ever if their horrible stories are like our
right.
Nothing.
No, I mean horrible stories. Yeah, school districts are crazy. Oh, man, they probably brought a gun to school. What? At a school? No. They called me a Jew.
They should look at that thread that was created on our forums. Like, what was the worst thing you ever done?
Mm.
Yeah, you're not going to get
won't
our
come
listeners.
On.
Our listeners have burned down houses. Don't worry about it.
Skyler from Michigan. We get it, Keith. You have the worst and best stories. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's funny what people think, though, are the craziest. He broke a stroller. Did that shock you, listener?
I think it makes me more go, aw, Jesse's so cute.
Am I the devil?
Yes, you are, actually. Don't say that.
School experts backed David Threat, the district superintendent's claim that Herald, a system of about 110 students 150 miles northwest of Fort Worth, may be the first to let teachers bring guns to the classroom. It's a matter of safety. We have a lockdown situation. We have cameras. But the question we have to answer is, what if somebody gets in? What are we going to do? It's just common sense. It is common sense. When you hear these stories lately about the colleges and high schools and people coming in, just if one teacher had one gun, that'd be the end of it. Right there.
Okay, but...
But what?
Your teacher loses her temper on you.
That's not... Please. Teachers who wish to bring guns will have to be certified to carry a concealed handgun in Texas, like anything else, and get crisis training and permission from school officials. So you have permission to do it, but you have to go through all the steps. You have to take a class. The teacher has to – the board has to say it's okay. So they're not going to give it to a crazy person. It's not fucking the Wild West all of a sudden. They're walking around chugging whiskey. Recent school shootings in the U.S. have prompted some calls for school officials to allow students and teachers to carry legally concealed weapons into classrooms. U.S. Congress once barred guns at school nationwide. But that was taken back.
You don't think there's going to be a story coming up saying, like, the teacher, like, made a joke about the gun? Like, don't make me take out my piece.
Maybe. And I bet it calmed somebody down.
I just think that in Texas, maybe they're a little more used to it, so it's not that big a deal. Like, everyone carries a gun in Texas,
right.
You know? So it's, okay, my teacher has a gun, whoop-de-doo. So I guess that's a good state to start in.
Right.
They're just more used to it, so maybe it's not that big a deal.
The things don't go by, don't go by the fucking Jew story.
The Jew story?
But there are horrendous things going on in New York City schools.
Yes.
That a gun wouldn't kill anybody. No pun.
Well.
A foursome turns violent and ends in a he said, she said, she said, he said.
In a good way or a bad way?
Bad way.
Oh.
Bad way. Everyone agrees that after two couples met at a Cottage Grove bar over the weekend, they engaged in mutually consensual sex at the home of one of the couples. But there are differing versions of how a fight broke out during the sexual escapade, leaving one man in the hospital and another one in jail.
Surprising? Not really.
So I'm going to need your help following the people's names. So yeah. I need your help distinguishing the couples. Daniel Dinga is 26. He was charged in court today with second-degree recklessly endangering safety with the use of a weapon and a substantial battery with use of a weapon, both felonies which carry a combined total penalty of 23 and a half years of prison and extended supervision.
Wow.
The criminal complaint filed today said that Dinga and his girlfriend met Cesar Salinas and his girlfriend at the Outpost Bar in downtown Cottage Grove late on Friday night, and Dinga invited the group to his house. So this guy who got in trouble is the guy who invited the other couple.
Yeah.
He's the more perverted. After drinking more alcohol, the four ended up in the bedroom of the residence, with all four engaging in mutually consented sexual conduct. During the group sex, something, the complaint does not say what, caused a falling out between the two men.
Your penis touched my penis.
Your penis touched my penis, or I didn't like the way you were fucking my wife.
Maybe.
At one point, while the four were engaged in sex in the bedroom, Selena started arguing with the defendant, and the two men started pushing each other while still naked. So the guy that was invited to the guy's house started arguing with the guy who owned the house. At one point, while the four were engaged in sex in the bedroom, they're still naked. The story of what happened exactly next differs from the telling by each of the participants, but Salinas ended up at St. Mary's in Madison, where he was treated for a gash to his face that was 1 centimeter deep and 2 centimeters wide, which took numerous stitches to close, according to the doctor who treated him.
That's hardcore.
Both Dinga and his girlfriend said after the encounter in the bedroom ended and everybody got dressed, Salinas and his girlfriend were in the garage, where Salinas rushed at Dinga, starting the fight. So Salinas, both Dinga and his girlfriend, said the encounter in the bedroom ended and everybody got dressed. Salinas and his girlfriend, is that Salinas' girlfriend?
No, Salinas is the guy who got hurt. Him and his girlfriend, the other couple, is saying that suddenly, like, the guy rushed at the guy's house.
At the guy that owns the house.
Yeah.
Salinas' girlfriend said it was Dinga who started the fight. When it was over, she picked the remains of a steak knife, apparently used to cut Salinas, and turned it over to investigators at the Dane County Sheriff's Office the next day. This is the kind of stuff that's making Hemda and I wonder if we're true swingers. we're all talk. Listen to what's going on out there. Dinga, the complaint against him, says, quote, gave varying and conflicting accounts on how the fight started. At first, Dinga denied a weapon was involved, and then later said Salinas had the knife, but Dinga said he managed to get it away from Salinas. Dinga said after he and Salinas had a pushing match in the bedroom. Now, right there! Like, hey, I'm out. Like, you hear how this shit can cause troubles. At the first sign of trouble, I'm out. If I'm with Hemda and we're fucking another couple, and the guy goes, that's kind of weird the way you pulled my wife's hair. Hey, sorry, my bad. I'm out. We're done. And Hemda goes, sorry, I'm having fun. Nah, well, I'm leaving. Fuck this.
Well, I just think that once guys get into fights,
right,
it's kind of hard to make them stop. Like when remember,
I know, but I'm telling you,
you almost got into a fight in the bar. I'm not going to stop you from getting into a fight.
My dick isn't swinging. Nobody's fucking my girl. I would leave. The bar will turn into a fight. I'm not fucking. And you know what I would do if I got into a fight? If I started yelling at a guy in a bar, quit fucking him or his girlfriend. I would not be naked anymore. That's what I would do in the bar first off. Like, this has potential for disaster, and we're sick. Like, they think it's still going to work out. They're so fucking horny. Fuck you. They're pushing each other. Fuck you. No, fuck you. Okay. How do we fucking solve this so we can go back to fucking each other's other?
No, according to the guy who's not, it's not his house. According to that guy, it's like there was some shoving around and stuff, and I think he got hurt. Clothes were put on, and then according to the couple whose house it was, after clothes were put on, they went to the garage, I guess, to like escort them out or something, and then that's when the second guy lunged at him.
No, here's more. I'll read some more. It sounds like they're still hanging out. Dinga said after he and Salinas had a pushing match in the bedroom, which ended the sexual foursome, he went to the garage. This time he's in the garage to have a cigarette and was speaking to Salinas' girlfriend when Salinas suddenly rushed Dinga with a knife in his hand. So there's this fight. And now this dude's out in the garage
taking a break
with another girl, with the girl probably going, that was fucking crazy back there, but I'd still love you to eat me out or suck me off, whoever's talking. And the guy's like, what the fuck? Grabs a knife. That's what I think. Dinga said he managed to wrestle the knife away from Salinas and then hit him with it in the neck. Salinas suffered no neck injuries, however. The complaint said when Salinas left the bedroom after getting dressed, he was followed to the garage by Dinga's girlfriend.
That's fair.
So it sounds like that's what's happening. Somebody, and then another girlfriend is coming over and being like, kind of like defending him, it sounds like. Like, Boy, that, my husband was an asshole. And she made no mention of him going to the kitchen to get the steak knife, believed to have been the weapon. And Sheriff's Department Detective Brian Lukens noted that when he talked to Dinga Saturday, quote, he could detect the odor of intoxicants emitted, well, no shit.
Yeah, right.
From the defendant, that the odor associated with someone sobering up after a long night of drinking, his eyes were bloodshot and glossy, and he complained of feeling hungover. Well, good job, detective. These are the detectives that catch me drinking on the subway in New York, that they congratulate each other when they get me. Yes, it's a Heineken bottle. Congratulations. Good job, Detective Brown. Fuck you. His shorts were covered in blood. In court Tuesday, Dinga was released on a signature bond, and Dane County Court Commissioner Dan Floater ordered him to have no contact with the other couple, to possess no weapons, and to not drink while the case was pending. Well, that's too bad. That's going to take 3 years the way society works.
I think he'll be drinking a couple things.
I don't need your fucking other... I'm telling you, that's what you do. You're doing something freaky and weird, leave. Anytime you're doing something freaky and weird and it looks shady, anytime you're buying drugs and something looks shady, cut and run.
I also think that it's, you know, just because it was a couple, it obviously adds to the kink, but these people, it sounds like they just met. So when you just meet a person, even if it's just one person meeting one other person and you're going back to their place, you're putting yourself in danger. You know, never mind that it's an entire couple. You know,
so don't
still
push it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just saying it's, I don't know how much more dangerous it is other than now even more emotions are involved, you know? Like, the fact that it's kinky, it made the news, but, you know, people are getting slaughtered all the time just going home with another person.
Like, I wonder if it's like we can see this on film or something, and like, who pushed
it? You're so excited by it.
I do want to know what happened. I do want to know who pushed it. I do want to know if he's like...
You want to know who fucked the wrong way and was like,
exactly,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
You want to know whose girl made a little too much noise, like, wait, she doesn't say that when she's fucking me.
Yeah, why are you grabbing at her so much? And then, like, he whispered in, wow, your husband's a little bitch. And then she giggled, and then there's a fight. You go, wait, dude, let's talk about this in the garage. I can't find it. It was real hard to find freaks lately. We could still work this out. Cut and run. All right, before we get out of here, by the way, just a quick reminder. Tonight, sleep study, and I don't know who's going to be tucking me.
Are you nervous? Because here's the thing. I tried not to talk to you about this as much as possible. Because I heard...
All I'm doing is sleeping.
No, I know, but I heard the result of it. Like, if you really have sleep apnea and it's bad, you have to wear a mask every day to go to sleep. And I didn't really want you to hear about that before.
I won't do that. I would do it. Somebody said you do it for... I won't do it for the rest of my life because you said it like it's the rest of my life. I will not do that.
Why?
Why not? Get the fuck out. I'd leave you if you did that.
Oh.
Now you know. Don't do it. Yeah, you sad about the makeup sleep apnea? Well, thank God. You know what? If I thought you were ugly, I wouldn't be with you either. Oh, that's sad.
I wouldn't leave you if you had to wear a mask every night.
Good.
If you can sleep.
Good.
You know?
Good.
So,
I don't need to date Darth Vader.
Well, I know that you wouldn't leave me because you can't date anyone else.
That's right.
But I saw you reading the forums and people were like, oh, you have to wear a mask or, oh, you know, like all the intrusive things that would have to happen if you get whatever form of sleep apnea that's possible, right. You know? And I think that you were getting a little upset about it. Like,
I heard you only wear it for like 5 days, somebody said. Now, everybody's case is different, but somebody said you do, and then your body gets used to it. I have no problem doing that.
I don't know that is the case. I think that would be the...
I'm not wearing it every day for the rest of my life.
Well, the thing is, I didn't want you to think ahead of like what's going to happen after the results. I just feel like we should do this. It's free. It's like $20, $50, whatever.
Right.
It doesn't cover it, even if it was like a little more or whatever, it's worth finding out what the solutions are. And I think that you were getting a little freaked.
At the idea of wearing a mask. Not freaked, saddened. Like, this will never be solved because I will not wear a mask every fucking day. Okay, can we have sex now? I'll put this to the side.
Well, it's not like we only have sex right before we go to sleep, you know?
You're sleeping. I got an old model of whatever machine this is.
I think it's awesome how excited the actual sleep study place is to get anybody to come to the test. Because what we're used to is people going, well, you got to go get this and you got to go get that. And they're like, oh, I see that you have this kind of insurance. We called this doctor and that apparently wasn't the thing. So we're going to call this doctor and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you don't get anybody coming to your place, do you?
You give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah, and it was weird. It was like,
you can't blame them. Who feels like they have the time?
Right. Well, they do, apparently. But at the same time, at the same goddamn time, they're trying to get the piece of information so that you can go to the sleep test. But the primary care that we have, your actual doctor, right. doctor that you would see, your general practitioner, they could give a fuck.
No doctors give a fuck. In fact, explain that a little bit. I want to find this post that somebody put on the forums.
Well, the fact is that the sleep study place has to call the main doctor, and the main doctor is not returning calls. They're not faxing what needs to be faxed. And if they don't, fax it by 5 o'clock, I mean, now it's past 5, but if they, like we called them earlier, if they don't fax it by 5 o'clock, Keith has to pick another day. Now, tomorrow's not good for us, Friday's not good for us, and we just keep delaying the process, you know? So then, and now Keith doesn't like to be, and even though you told everybody yesterday you got to be confrontational, you don't like to like, annoy a place that you have to go back to again. So I'm like, that's
Agreed.
It. I'm calling. It's close to 4 right now, and we learned that, you know, your major place might close at 4 every day instead of 5 now, you know?
Right.
It's close to 4. They haven't sent it. I'm going to politely, Keith, politely call them up and just nudge them a little. Just be like, just make them understand the urgency in this. So I call up, and I go, hi, I'm calling for you, Keith Malley's going to study, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? The first words out of this woman's mouth is, oh, yeah. I'm like, can you hide that?
Yeah.
Can you hide it? Because I wouldn't say that at my job. Like, I worked customer service. I wouldn't write back like, oh, yeah, totally forgot, you know? I would at least phrase it different. Like, you know what? Actually, like, I put it on the list of things to do. I should have gotten it by now, but I didn't. So I do appreciate your call. Like, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so they were about to close. And I'm like, well, why don't I give you the facts? Like, oh, looks like we do have the information. It's like, why am I walking you through this? And I wouldn't let them off the phone until they faxed it right then.
Huh. Treat them like little babies. You gotta treat them like drug addicts.
Exactly. You treat them like a little baby, and you know what they say at the end? Thank you. That was helpful that I walked you through your job. Well, it wasn't helpful to me because it's not my job. I actually have other shit to do. Thank you so much for your help. Primary care. It's in the fucking name. Primary care physician. Right. What care? Primary of all care?
They really shrug everything off, and it's your health. And obviously, we went into this detail on yesterday's show. And yesterday's show was about confronting people and becoming a better woman and a better man and stand up for yourself. But what can you do about these little bitchy receptionists? And the very first post on the Keith and the Girl forums is by Indecisive Twit. From Kentucky, and she says, you spoke in this episode about confrontation. Then you went off about your doctor's office, and there being nothing you can do about that cunning fucking whore of a receptionist. That's almost everywhere. That's almost everywhere.
I guess so. According to the response on the forums, in New
York...
So
it's not the one doctor I have.
Well, it's not just New... I think New York, for sure, but it seems like it's happening in other states.
That you just hang up on, or you have hem to call because you can't deal. Well, you absolutely can do something. Here's what she says. You call... She is her normal ray of fucking sunshine. Then you nice and calmly, this is the hard part, ask her what her name is. And as soon as she tells you, you ask to speak to her immediate supervisor. Wouldn't that be Dr. Mumbly in your case? And then you report her ass. And she panics and tells you her supervisor is not available because she knows her ass is in trouble. You ask him what her supervisor's name is, thank her, and hang up. Then you call back later and ask for the supervisor by name. If this treatment happens when you're actually in the doctor's office, when the doctor comes in and asks you how you're doing today, you tell him that you were fine, until you came into the office and were treated like garbage by his receptionist. And that happens every time you call and come in. Doing nothing is only perpetrating the situation. She will continue to treat you and everyone else who calls and comes in like they're shit, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I'm a tattletale, but it works for me. Does it work for you? You never have hassle? I would not do that. It would not.
I know you wouldn't, and that's why I don't do it.
There'd be no point. It wouldn't happen. And do you know what happens behind the scenes there? She's a bitch. Yeah, she's a bitch, but I had to talk to you. Like, okay. And you think you're not going to get attitude? These people can't hide their attitude. They're the people that, they can't hide it.
Well, now they also super won't fax it. Oh, she didn't get it? I faxed it an hour ago. Sure you did. These are people who have our life in their hands, unfortunately.
They will spite you by not taking you in an emergency. They will spite you by not getting shit in on time.
But you know what's weird is a lot of the places that you go to, old people go to, like your knee doctor, a lot of old people, and the ear doctor, a lot of old people because they have hearing problems. And, you know, joint problems. And I would be really surprised if they weren't bitching to the doctor every time they got half an attitude. That's one.
Right.
And two is they're definitely people always tattletaling. What was funny about I had a job with my brothers, right? And I was a receptionist for a while.
Right.
And I was a good receptionist because I didn't mind doing the job at all. Like, I think people look down at certain jobs, and I was like, I don't care, you know? Like, what's the difference between answering phone calls or sending out emails about, like, I don't care.
Yeah, never mind. Jeremy brings this up. Never mind. She's also in charge of your insurance billing.
Right.
One box didn't get checked. Oops, you owe $30,000.
Exactly, that you can dispute, but it'll take you years. And then meanwhile, you owe this money and you can't do other things because you owe the money. It's just not, like, there are certain people you don't fuck with, unfortunately.
Right.
Anyway, so I just found this interesting. Like, I would pass the phone call, let's say, to my brother, Andrew. And then a couple times he'd be like, just so you know, people are reporting that you're really friendly and they're surprised that you know them by name, by voice, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, people tell you that? And they're like, oh, yeah. And if you suck, they're going to tell me that, too. He didn't say it as a threat, but he had other people that suck. Right. And the first thing, and I guess it makes sense, like, if I were to call Keith, if you were working at an office and you, let's say, own the place or even if whatever, if the whatchamacallit?
Receptionist?
If the receptionist sucked, the first thing I'd be like is, wow, she really has a lot of attitude. Because a lot of people calling business to business, you already have a rapport with them. You know who their how old their kids are, stuff like that. So, of course, they're saying things.
Somehow,
they're getting away with it. And if you think about it, people don't get fired as often as you would think. It's not like on sitcoms where it's like, you know what? You fucked up. You're fired.
Right.
You know, it's not like that. It's like, shit, now I got to, like, first of all, it's another form of confrontation. You have to sit somebody down and say they don't have a job anymore that, again, you have a rapport with, you know, how old their kids are, blah, blah, blah. You have to then train another person who could be even more of a cunt because it took you long enough to weed through the cunts to get...
And there's laws with firing people.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't just fire someone. You have to have, like, some really, you know...
You waiters out there, we picked a scum job. Okay?
Waiters
but believe
are different.
It.
You can just get tossed out.
But trust me, more jobs that are for human beings,
yeah.
There's actually laws, and you don't just get fired.
Yeah, it's not like an off-the-cuff, you know, feeling that your boss had, like, you know what, this person's getting on my nerves. You know what, you're fired.
Right.
There are meetings like, hey, should we, you know, what else can we do? Yeah. How could we motivate this person? It's like babysitting a little bit at work sometimes.
Definitely. And what a lack of respect, too, when I look at your office, and not just doctors, and your secretary can give a fuck for what? So you can pay a couple dollars less? Do you have to pay more for somebody that gives a fuck?
Right. That's a position that really, I think,
you're
people
answering
overlook.
The door, yeah.
You know, this is... First of all, you're a doctor, you're making a lot of money, and this person is representing you whether you like it or not. And so many cunts are fucking hired for these jobs just because, I don't know. Like, how did she not give you attitude in the meeting? How do you not see through, like even, like, what I just did, like, that sound, like, I had, like, even, like, the tone of the voice. You know that's the voice that people are going to hear when they're trying to reach you.
I say that about every job. Like, even your jobs like Raid Aid or anything like that where you're just hiring shit. But, like, you're going, like, this says it's on sale, but it's not labeled right. Like, how did you get the job?
How did you enunciate enough
for
somebody to even know, you know, what positions you've had in the past?
So where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, I want to incur... Okay, we'll put you on the floor. No, you came in like that, and you have a secret dolphin language. Tuesday. Well, whenever you want, it doesn't matter.
Play a game and walk through your day, especially when you have a lot of errands to run, because that's the biggest deal. and everybody you have to face and talk to, like, they got hired knowing that this is your job. You will have to face and talk to people. Try to figure, when you're getting annoyed by someone, try to think of them in their interview. And just, like, your head's going to explode by the end of the day. As they're talking to you, telling you, I don't know, why don't you ask me? Try to think of interview, like, think of three interview questions that you think that this person could possibly have answered in order to get this position, if it's a dumb position, like you said.
When you see a guy on the subway, for example, I always wonder this. Just walking the streets, I wonder it mostly when I was, you know, out hitting the pavement for work, and you just see everybody has a job. When there's rush hour, all these people are going to or from work. Never mind they're muttering to themselves, picking their nose, yelling at people. They're all fucking crazy, and they all got hired but you. They all said, hi, I would like a job, and you had the pick of the fucking litter, and you said, I will take you. Then, wow! All these, there's no, you know what? I wish Dan wasn't moving and he would focus on colonizing Mars. Because I'm telling you, I'm in.
Focus on what?
Colonizing Mars. I went off this fucking planet.
Just colonizing Mars. That's right. It's okay.
Oh, my Lord in heaven.
Maybe London has a better program for that.
I guarantee. You just go to work and you look around. I've said this many times. Anytime you get hired, you're like, oh, fuck, there's something special about me. They picked me. And then you're at your first day and you look around and you go, holy shit. I'm a retard. And I was hired because apparently we're all on a retard program. They probably get some money back from the government for hiring all retards. And all of a sudden, you're not happy you got the job. You made the cut because we are going from the bottom this time. Like, what? Cut the fuck? Well, you're working. You have to fill out taxes. And how do you? How don't you eat the paper every year? All right, I'm going to be too angry to sleep. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm going to do this. All right, guys, I'm going to bed. Just kidding. And then I'll jump up. Okay, just kidding. Seriously now, three, and go. And then I'm going to do that thing like drama people do with their hands over their face, like, you know, and scene. I'm going to do that and go, scene, and then plop down and go.
You mean like what you do every night? That's good, because they want you to be in your own environment.
If I do get that mask, I'm going to use it with you, and we're going to play robot fucking.
There's so much to look forward to. Yes,
join me on the dark side. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. What is it? Like 8 to...
8 to morning.
8 to morning?
Yes.
They have snacks, right?
No.
They don't have snacks?
I think you have to bring snacks.
Oh, you could bring snacks.
You could bring, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You're going to need to eat, right?
You can bring booze, right? Because it's going to get boring.
All right. Time to go.
All right. See you guys tomorrow. Thanks. KeithandTheGirl.com